That's Psalm 62, verses 1 through 5, and beginning at verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Let's pray together. Father, all I can say this morning is amen to the passage that we just read. Truly, you are our hope, our security, our safety. God, I pray this morning as Pastor Johnson comes and preaches to us from this passage that you would help us to be better Christians and live our lives better. God, please work in our lives today. We're needy people. We need to hear from heaven today. Father, for that to be accomplished, the Holy Spirit must come upon our pastor. Use him, empower him for that task. And then, Father, I'll ask if there's anyone in this room this morning that is not 100% sure that they're going to heaven when they die, that they would settle it before they leave today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, how many of you own a cell phone? Would you raise your hand, please? Hold your hand up for me. Now listen, if you do not know that it is off or turned to vibrate, make sure you do that right now, because if it goes off, here's what happens. Those annoying relatives who came to visit you, not the ones you enjoyed, the annoying relatives who came to visit you, who said they left, when you get home, they're going to move in. They're going to live with you from now on. So that'll happen. God will make it work. So make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate, please. Now sit and listen very carefully for a moment. This Psalm chapter 62 we read from this morning is, it's an all about God psalm. Is what it is. David is just exalting and lifting up his God in this psalm. It's a great psalm. All of them are good, but this one is really good. Now I want you to look at your Bibles with me now to verse number 5. And he's speaking about God here. He says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. And look at this statement at the end of verse 5. For my expectation is from him. He says, my expectation is from him. Now, part of that means David said, boy, my hope for the future and life and good and all that comes from God. Now, that's a good statement. But more importantly, what David was saying was this. What I expect from God is, and then he lists the rest of the things here in verses 6 down to verse number 12. He had an expectation of God, an expectation from God. Now, look at me a moment, please. Can I ask you a question this morning? What is your expectation from God today? 30 plus years of the ministry, I find a lot of people get disillusioned and disappointed because they had unrealistic expectations from God. Some people I also find, they have, be honest with you, they believe there's a God, but they really don't have any expectation that God's going to do anything in their life to help them or to work in their lives. And I want to talk to you, I'm going to ask you the question this morning, what is your expectation from God today? Have you ever had something you had a great expectation for, and then when you got it, you were totally disappointed? My wife and I were at a place on the coast we like to go to and having a few days together, and we went to this nice buffet place. And I went over to the salad bar to get some salad, and I saw caviar. Now, this is a nice buffet place. When you got caviar, that's a nice buffet place. And I saw that black beluga caviar. I think it's right around $125 an ounce. It is very expensive. They get it out of sturgeon in the Black Sea in Russia. This stuff is like, you're talking high clover stuff now. This is big. I thought, ooh, caviar. People are always bragging about, I have caviar. I said, Okay, so I threw some on my little blob on my plate, a couple of crackers. Went over and I sat down, put that on that cracker and put it in my mouth. I said, I can't believe they pay $125 an ounce for fish eggs. Because that's what it tasted like. Tasted like those old Pazuki's red fireball fish eggs you use when you go fishing. Just like that. See, how do you know? Because I tried those too. They're not too hot. Same stuff, and that stuff's like $1.25. Bad part is my wife said, what is that? And I said, it's caviar. Mmm, it's so good, honey. You're going to have to try. We're still in counseling over that one. But anyway, she tried it and looked at me, and I said, I know. I ratted you out. I'm sorry. But I didn't want to be miserable by myself. Went to the bathroom, washed out my mouth. Caviar is no big deal. Trust me. Fish eggs. That's what it is. But then, have you ever had an expectation of something and it turned out to be more than you could possibly have imagined, even better than what you expected? I mean, something you look forward to and you thought, boy, if I could ever get to this place, or if I could ever have this in my life, or if I could ever attain this level of in my life, and if I could ever get there. And then when you actually got, you know, they say that wanting something is not as important as wanting it after you get it. There have been times in my life when I wanted to get to a certain place or location on this earth, got there and thought, man, I can't believe I'm standing by the Eiffel Tower in Paris. I'm looking at Buckingham Palace in London and thought, you know, it's really even more impressive once you get here. You ever had an expectation of things? And it turned out to be better than what you thought. David said, my expectation is from him. God, David had some expectations from God this morning. And I want to talk to you about your expectations from God today. I want you to be careful today. I want you to listen to me very carefully. You talk to me about it. You show me a person who becomes disillusioned with God, or I like to say it today, the God thing. First of all, God ain't a thing. Secondly, I'm sick and tired of the vernacular of the common vulgar language that's gotten into our Christian living and thinking. You know, they call him the big guy in the sky and all this kind of stuff. You better watch about who you're talking about, friend. You're talking about the God of heaven. And this ain't a God thing. This is about the God of heaven. See, well, Pastor John said, I don't really have any expectations from God. Then you need help this morning. Because he really is interested in your life. He wants you to ask of him things. He does. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God wants you to ask him things. God wants you to expect things from him. But we also have to be careful that we have realistic expectations and that our expectations are in line with what's right. For instance, do you expect God to be less than he is? Do you expect him to be less than he is? You say, well, I mean, how would that change anything? Good statement. How would it change anything? We got all kinds of God makers today, though. People who decide they're going to make God as they understand him. Well, this is what I would expect God to be. This is what I want God to be. Oh, excuse me. So you determine who he is. And if he doesn't line up with who you think he is, then you either dismiss the whole prospect, the whole thought that there is a God in heaven, or you reinvent him the way you want to. Do you understand that's where all religions come from today? All of them. Christian, non-Christian religions that we wouldn't even consider having to do with Christianity. They all come from an original source of somebody who knew the God of heaven and decided, that's not the God I want to worship. I'm going to make my own. And they made their own God. It's as simple as that. It really is. It's not because people got a different idea or they got to another part in the world and they found God differently there than anywhere else. It all goes back to the ark and Noah and his three sons and their three wives and Mrs. Noah. There was only eight people, ladies and gentlemen, and all of them that came off the ark knew the God of heaven, every one of them. But when they had children and their descendants went along, somebody down the road decided, you know what, I'm not going to embrace the God of my fathers. I'm not going to embrace the God that I was taught. I'm going to make my own God. And that's where all the religions come from today. But guess what? Do you have an expectation of God that for him to be less than he is? Why would that? But the Bible says this in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6. God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Too many have the wrong expectations from God because they don't understand God as he is. So how do we do that, Pastor Johnson? You understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is the only book he's ever written. This one, the Word of God. Genesis to the Revelation, the only book. You want to know who he is? You need to know this book and base it on what the book says. Not what I think, not what society says, not as he is invented and reinvented and rewritten. Well, look there in Psalm 62, would you please? Look back up to verse number 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They get together and they say, well, you know, that's what some people say God is. Here's who we think God is. And they want to bring him down from who he is to their own understanding or their own minds. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Hebrews 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we know God has not changed, ever. God, as to who he is, as to what he does, as to how he conducts himself, as to the God of heaven and who the God of heaven is, he has not changed for eons of centuries of time. Never has, never will. So then if I understand him according to the Bible, I understand this about God. God is holy. God is just. God is loving. God is compassionate. He's a God of wrath and a God of judgment. And he's a God of love and forgiveness and mercy. So, well, Pastor Johnson, which one? The answer is yes. He is all that. Do you understand? Look here. Now, some people, their God must be nothing more than a Santa Claus who just sits up in heaven and just dispenses goodness to everybody, and everybody gets what they want, anything that else, that all comes, all the good stuff comes from God. Some people, they've got a God who's blind as a bat. He must not see what's going on in their life because they act like there is no God. If you ask them if they believe in God, they say yes, but in reality, they're practical atheists. Because they really don't think God knows, God sees, and God understands everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, the Bible says, beholding the evil and the good. Some today don't believe they could come to God because they don't think God would forgive them. They've done things in their life that are so awful, they think God would not forgive them. But the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you realize the God of the Bible, the God of heaven, the God as he exists today, sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, to give you salvation as a gift that you don't have to earn or deserve or be worthy of. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you realize that by simply receiving Christ as your Savior, God will give you eternal life, forgive your sins, wipe the slate clean this morning? Why? Because of the grace this brother sang about just a moment ago. That's what grace is for. Unmerited, undeserved favor, incredible, amazing. And he'll forgive you just like that. Wipe this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And just like that, God will forgive you, save you, give you eternal life in hell, home in heaven. Amazing. And the same God will send you to hell to burn forever in eternity and give you no hope. So I don't understand that. You don't need to understand it. You just need to understand he is no less than what the Bible says he is. He is merciful. He is compassionate. Hey, friend, look at me. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, the reason that you have this chance to hear the gospel again is because of his mercy and his grace. He wants to give you another chance this morning. Huh? That's right. He wants you to give you the hope of eternal life and salvation. That's why he sent Jesus to be your Savior today. You need to trust him to go to heaven. And he'll forgive you and give you eternal life the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. Just like that. But the same God has determined that anyone who does not trust Christ goes to hell forever. And it's not a cuss word, it's a place. Well, that's not the God as I understand him, Pastor Johnson. Then you want him to be less than he is. See, you have an expectation from God that's not scriptural. I'm sorry that I don't think my God doesn't make people suffer. Excuse me. The Bible says even the captain of our salvation was not made perfect without suffering. Do you understand that God allows suffering in the life of God's people sometimes? He does. Is it pleasant? Did anybody get this morning and say, man, I hope I suffer today? Anybody? No one does. You don't have to ask for it because he will allow that to happen in your life. Read the book of Job sometime and see the life of a man who was a just, upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And in one day he lost everything he owned and had nothing but 10 fresh graves to look at. Was God doing something to that man or trying to do something in that man and through that man? You see, that's the God of heaven. Is he powerful? You know, God can do anything. Let's be clear about that this morning. Oh, yes, he can. God can perform anything. God can do anything. Except be less than what he is. You won't become disillusioned with God if you understand God as he is, not as you want him to be. Not as you won't accept him to be. Not as you can't tolerate that. We got these little, call them little Napoleons. These little Napoleons are just determined that no matter what, they're going to make their own God in the way they want him to. I'm sorry, but it doesn't work like that. And you have an expectation from God that's not realistic. Okay, let's get the picture. He created me. I did not create him. He made me in his image, and so did he make you in his image. You are his creation. He is not yours. He's not your creation. You and I don't make him as he is. And as you go along and you acknowledge God, but you, there's certain parts you don't like. Our president is very well known for saying there's certain parts of the Bible he doesn't care for. There's certain things about God he can't accept. Well, excuse me, you little pipsqueak. The truth of the matter is, I'm sorry, Mr. Pipsqueak. Do you understand that you don't do that with God? You hear me? You wind up getting 12 stitches in your lip for playing basketball. You've got to be careful about what you're doing in your life. Don't mess with God. But if I have an unrealistic expectation from God, somehow or another, well, I live my life the way I want, and then when I want something from God, he should be able to just give it to me. Oh, so he didn't see all this other stuff going on over here. No, that's not how it works, you see. We have an expectation from God to be blind, deaf, and dumb to what we do in our life that's not right, but attentive and hearing when we want something. You see, you have an unrealistic expectation from God. You talk about frustration, and here's the sad part. God gets blamed for that. When he already made it clear to us that he's merciful and kind. Oh, he's the God of a second chance, friend. Oh, my. Every time I read that passage in the book of Jonah, how Jonah ran from God and he was swallowed by a whale. And then the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I think back to that hot August night in 1975, right in the court of Alta Arden and Bell in a little bitty house where I wept my way back to God after being out of the will of God for over 10 years. And God gave me a second chance. Oh, he's the God of a second chance, all right. In many cases, a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth, but there is a limit to how many chances you get. He determines that. And there's a distance, limit to the distance, how far you can go, and he determines that. The same God who will just say, all right, I'll forgive you if you'll make this thing right. You come to him and ask for his forgiveness, God wipes it clean. The same God says, but he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29, verse 1. Do you have an expectation from God to be less than he is? Say, well, he'd never forgive me, Pastor Johnson. Yes, he would, my friend. Oh, yes, he would. Never forget that guard in the jail that day I had finished preaching at one of the services up here, and as we were leaving, that particular pod of men in that service we had that particular day are some men who committed some of the most horrible things you could possibly imagine. Child molesters and rapists and perverts and things. As we got in the elevator after preaching that day, the guard turned to me and he says, You really think God would forgive them? I said, well, if he won't forgive them, he won't forgive us. I said, I know it doesn't sound right, does it? I said, but it's still true. He didn't put limitations on forgiveness, friend. He will forgive. He only puts limitations on how long he'll offer it. That's God. Do you have an expectation from God this morning to do more than he said he would? God can do anything. One more time. God can do anything. Well, there is no power like God's power. If anything we've learned from the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, all you have to do is start in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means he stepped out onto nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. God did not make what we see from what exists. God made what we see from nothing. No one has ever done that before. No one's ever done a creative work but God, the God of heaven. All these people go around pumping themselves up about the creation of this artwork or the creation of this statue or the creation of this building or the creation of this philosophy or the creation of this and that. No. All they've ever done is take what was already there and make it something else. God took nothing and made something out of it. You stop to think about that for a moment. If that's the only way you understand Him, that means there is no limit to what God can do. He is incredible, amazing, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient God. But He has determined and decided that He will limit Himself in certain ways. You realize Psalm 138, verse 2, the Bible says that He has magnified His word above His name. Which means this: God exalts this book and what it says above Himself, above His name. They're co-equal. Don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is this. If this book says this is what God will do, that's what He'll do. If this book says this is what God won't do, that's what He won't do. Do you have unrealistic expectation that you expect God to do more than He said He would? He can and will do as much as He has promised in His Word. And listen to me, and guarantee He will keep every promise in the Bible. There are over 5,000 promises in the Bible God has made. 5,000. Many of them have already been fulfilled. Some of them have yet to be fulfilled, but it'll happen. There's the promise of Jesus' second coming. And it says in the book of 2 Peter, scoffers will come in the last days and say, where is the promise of His coming? It's in the Bible. He said He'll come, then He will. Now, I can't give you a time frame, and no one should, but the truth of the matter is, if Jesus said He would come again, He will come again. God promised. He said, call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That means there's nothing I face in my life that's greater than the God who can answer my prayers. Do you realize how powerful that is? Do you realize how important it is you get plugged into the God of heaven so that if it's according to His will, 1 John chapter 5, that if it's according to His will, He will answer and ask what you ask for? I didn't say He'll give you everything you want. Please don't get involved in the blab it and grab it boys, okay? The say it and pay it. If you just believe, God will give you what you want. No, He won't. No, He won't. Every time I get behind somebody driving slow, you better hope God doesn't answer my prayers. There'll be wreckages all over the city of Reading. Cars flipped over on top, burning wreckage with crispy carcasses inside of them. You better hope God doesn't answer my prayers. I believed it too, friend. I believed it. Why do they have to get in front of me? They're in a hurry. They've got nowhere to go and they're in no hurry to get there. Why do they have to get in front of me? So you ain't much Christian. Neither are you. Hush. Now the truth is, no, He won't. Come on, people. But He will answer anything if it's according to His will. And that's not a little statement that you make. And according to Your will, Father. No. Excuse me. I stood beside the bed of folks watching them suffering in their life and say, please, God, could You spare this one, please? Knowing God could do it. Knowing God could reach down, touch that body, they'd pull that tube, extubate that tube from their mouth and their lungs would breathe again and they could sit up and leave. And I've seen God do some amazing things in answer to prayer. And we don't even have a TV show to feed off of that. But I've also seen Him just flat turn me down because He just let him die. And I thought, well, now they were kind of young. And then the Holy Spirit always reminds me, but I did heal them. I took them home. Where would you like them to have health? This life or forever? Oh, I understand. You have expectations from God for Him to do more than He said He would? He'll never violate His word, friend. Look at me. If the Bible says no, that's the end of it. We're like these children who come up to their parents. Can I have a piece of candy? No. Can I have a piece of candy? No. Can I have a piece of candy? No. It's dinner time. Wait till after dinner and then I'll say no again. But no, you can't have a piece of candy. Can I have a piece of candy? No. Can I have a piece of candy? No. What part of no aren't you getting, kid? Figure it out. Nada. No way. Ni it. Let me give you all the other languages. No way, Jose. You ain't having it. No. And no matter how many times they ask, what do you say? No, eventually you give in and give them the candy. No, you don't do that. But the truth of the matter is we think God's like that. The Bible says you can't have this. The Bible says you should not do that. The Bible says you're not supposed to be in an unequal yoke together with unbelievers. That means you're not supposed to yoke up in an association, a group, a movement, or something like that that has unsaved people in it, where you're doing the same thing that they're doing. I'm not talking about work situations. I'm talking about God's work situations. God's work matters. You can't violate that. You understand? You can't walk in the council of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, and sit in the seat of the scornful and expect your life to have any permanence to it. You can't do that. You can't violate the principles of the Bible, and God's going to overlook that and say, well, I know I said they shouldn't, but we'll let them do it anyhow. He's our heavenly Father, not our heavenly grandfather. Because grandfathers will give you anything. Yesterday, our other grandkids were going home. Brooklyn was sitting there. She said, Grams, we're going to leave today. I said, I know, Pookie, don't leave me. Stay here. Look at me, kid. I'll give you ice cream for breakfast. You can brush your teeth with a Snicker bar. I'll give you pizza at midnight. You don't ever have to take another nap. You can sleep in as late as you want. You can stay up as late as you want to. What do you think? She said, well, can my parents stay? Who cares about them, girl? You're going to be here with me. Your grandfather taking care of you. I'm sorry. They look up at you with them little brown eyes and they go, Gramps, yeah, kid, what do you want? You got it. Right, go. Here you go. Here's the money, the wall, the car's out in the front with the keys in it. What do you want? That's a grandfather. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's right. See, where's the Bible on that? Don't bother me with the truth right now. But he's our heavenly Father, ladies and gentlemen. The Mr. You can and you can't guy. That's the man, the God of heaven. You understand? If he says no, that's it. Don't expect more of him than that. Don't expect God to violate his word, to give you what you want, to overlook what's necessary. Don't think that you can skip repentance and run right to forgiveness. Excuse me. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy, the Bible says. We're just going to run around and make all this mess and expect God to do the spoofle dust, make it all disappear thing. It doesn't work like that. You have to get it right. I'm sorry, but reaping what you sow is in the Bible. So then there is a sowing process. So then there has to be a reaping process, and it has to come in. A harvest of our deeds has to take place. That even goes beyond the forgiveness of God. You understand? I can't cover all the principles in the Bible this morning, but do you understand? If you have an expectation from God to do more than he said he would do, you're going to be very disappointed, and you're going to wind up blaming God too. We rob God and rob God and rob God with our giving, and then we wonder why we're struggling financially. Excuse me, you reap what you sow. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. That's how it works. There's no way to get around that. And by the way, when it comes to this tithing principle, you can't just start tithing and expect all that stuff you've robbed God for just to go away. No, I'm sorry, you got to get caught up on. That's right. So it's just better to be faithful to God. In my life and my actions, if I'm not faithful to God by what I do, how can I not expect it to show up in my children or my grandchildren or my people's lives who are around me? Because you reap what you sow. Do you understand? If you have an unrealistic expectation, do you expect God to do more than the Bible says? Because he won't do that. I promise you this, though. He will do what the Bible says. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Don't worry about it now. God is not miserly or meager in the way he treats his children. God will take good care of you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Somehow or another, God just seems to keep putting food on the table, a roof over the head, and taking care of his kids. He does that. He provides for his own. What is your expectation from God? Do you have the expectation for him to be all that you need? Do you expect him to be all that you need? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul knew that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's in a Mamertine prison. He says, all of Asia hath forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Titus to Croatia, Titus to Dalmatia, and Crescens to Greece. He said, all these guys, they were all men he had trained and brought up with him, and every one of them turned on him. In fact, in the last days of Paul's life, the entire ministry he had begun that went around the Asian crescent there, every one of those churches turned on him. And now he's sitting in a prison where they're about to cut his head off and execute him for the cause of Christ. And he said, all these people have left me, all of them. And then he makes this statement, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. There's a great song. It's a good song, but I'm afraid sometimes our songs we sing supersede the truth of God's word. It's a little simple statement in this song. I don't remember the name of it, to be honest with you. It says, when you come to the place where he is all you need, you'll find he's... Come to the place where he is all you have, you will find that he is all that you need. Sounds cute, but the truth is you shouldn't have to get to that place, because God should be all you need to begin with. Then everything else that he brings into your life that's good, that's just an added blessing to it. That's icing on the cake. That's ice cream on the pie. Forgive the analogies, it's Thanksgiving. But you understand the concept? It's gravy on the biscuits, folks. The truth of the matter is, if he's all you need, if he is all you need, just God, just you and him, then anybody else he brings into your life, that's an added blessing. But see, many of us today, that's not enough for us. We got to have somebody, as the little girl said, I got to have somebody with skin on them. We got to have this person or that person or the spouse or the friend or the family or the association or the group or this or that. Everybody's got this concept that everything in life could have functioned better if you have a good support group. Well, that's nice and it's good to have that, but that shouldn't even be necessary. Our sufficiency is of God. You and him should be sufficient in life. Then, if God gives you a wonderful spouse, tremendous. Then, if God gives you children that love you, tremendous. Then, if God gives you grandchildren, tremendous. Then, if he gives you a friend or two along the side, good night, friend. You've got something in life. But I don't have to have all those other things because my sufficiency is of him. Do you have an expectation of God? Do you expect that just you and God, just you and God is enough? Because he is. Just you, just him. So then they're telling us today that loneliness is becoming one of the great ills of our society. With people who connect with themselves on chat rooms and connect with people all over the world, they're finding loneliness is a real problem among people today. I know people who can be completely alone in a room full of people. All alone. They have nobody. They have no one. Again, there he sits, Paul, in that little Mamertine prison, that little hole under the ground, right by the Forum in Rome. And he sits there, and he's writing by God's direction in his life, inspiration of the Spirit of God on what is written. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. He said, I don't even have a coat to keep myself warm, but the Lord stood with me. He said, all these people I've spent so much time invested in, they've all left me now. He says, but the Lord stood with me. What's your expectation from God? Is it that you expect him to be everything that you need? I guarantee you, if he's first on the list and not somewhere on the list, if he's at the top of the list and that's frankly all as far as you need to go and the rest of it is just, boy, thank you, Lord, for a spouse and kids and grandchildren and friends and church family and all the things. When you start adding all that to what God is to you in your life, you're a multiplied, blessed person many times over in your life. Yes, you are. But if all the rest of them are gone and there isn't anybody there, can you sit in the ashes like Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? And in the darkness of the most difficult time of your life, if he's been all you ever needed anyway, then you always have God, because he has promised to never leave you or forsake you. And he's always there for you, my friend. Is that your expectation from God this morning? David had expectations from God. How about you? Let's stand our feet, please. Would you this morning?